I suppose you spend long enough time in that vein of questioning and research, and when you start to see a lot of the similar red flags around another topic, in this case, DNA or deoxyribonucleic acid, it does make you wonder. And I'm not the only one who has wondered about this. And I actually wanted to read a few excerpts from an article that my friend Noel Hadley wrote last year in 2017 called The Molecular Path to Shamanism: Francis Crick and the Double Helix Delusion. Geneticists James Watson and Francis Crick, a molecular biologist, biophysicist, and neuroscientist by trade, conducted no DNA experiments of their own, according to the U.S. National Library of Medicine. And yet in 1953, they discovered the DNA molecule, known as the double helix, by, quote, drawing upon the experimental results of others and relying on brilliant intuition, persistence, and luck. So there's your first red flag right there. But there is a missing ingredient here. As the story goes, Francis Crick burst through the front door of his Cambridge home, spouting barely legible gibberish to his then-wife about two spirals twisting in opposite directions from one another. Being herself somewhat of an artist, she put vision to paper, and like Walt Disney with Mickey Mouse, the coiling double helix was promptly born. To celebrate, the couple met up with research partner James Watson, and the trio drunk themselves silly at a local pub. It should be noted that Crick was a devoted fan of author Aldous Huxley. Red flag number two. He famously threw nude parties throughout the 50s and 60s, but most importantly of all, Crick was a devoted connoisseur of LSD. And indeed, you can find other articles where it is alleged that Crick actually, quote-unquote, discovered the double helix while being high on LSD. And supposedly they were taking small amounts of it to try and open their mind. Basically, they were microdosing, Crick and a bunch of these guys at Cambridge. But he was a devotee of Aldous Huxley. That's, I mean, in the 50s. That tells you a lot. But then Noel Hadley goes into the other main red flag, which is the ancient occult origins of the whole double helix image concept in itself, which of course is the caduceus, which is the staff carried by Hermes Trismegistus throughout ancient Greek mythology. And we all recognize the symbol from the medical hospital symbols as it's been associated with. But of course, it's much deeper and darker than that. And then he has a great line here. The twin serpents of the double helix seem to show up frequently throughout the annals of science, from the subatomic scale to the motions of celestial mechanics and even the coils of entire galaxies. Alleged galaxies. There's simply no escaping the ancient serpent. In Mutants and Mystics, Science Fiction Superhero Comics, and the Paranormal, author Jeffrey Kripal doesn't mince his words when writing on the oversaturation of the caduceus. It is at once the double helix scepter of the DNA molecule, the phallic serpent who brought sex and death into the world in the myth of the Garden of Eden, and a sign of the Kundalini, the two spiraled currents of energy that are likened to a serpent as they spark and spike up, down, and around the central channel of the spinal column in Tantric Yoga. Most of all, though, the caduceus is the staff of Hermes, the ancient Greek god of language and later occult philosophy, alchemy, and Western magic. The staff of Hermes has been a favorite for British comic book writer Alan Moore, the guy who did the Watchmen series and everything, who openly advertises the arts in its many varying forms to be deeply rooted in occultism. His comic book series Promethea was a cauldron for occult philosophy, Jewish mysticism, the tarot, tantric yoga, psychedelica, sex magic, and infamous, quote, spheres of the Kabbalah. Regarding his use of the caduceus, Moore explains, magic, after all, is ruled by Hermes. His symbol, the caduceus, its double helix serpents representing mankind's evolution. They wind apart and then recombine, progressing towards their ultimate synthesis, towards winged blazing godhead. But then he shows how it goes back even further than Hermes and the Greeks. He says, yet Crick's double helix discovery ventures even further back than the Olympian who supplied hermeticism to Western civilization. To this, the snake-worshipping Chaldeans deserve due credit. Writes A.L. Frothingham in Babylonian Origins of Hermes the Snake God and of the Caduceus, 1916, the proto-Hermes was always a snake god, and before the era of complete anthropomorphism, he was thought of in snake form. but it is an essential element of his function that he is not a single snake, for the great single earth snake was the mother goddess, but the double snake, male and female, the most prolific form of copulation in the animal kingdom. So it goes back to the Chaldeans, which is the Babylonians, of course, just like everything else. Then he talks about Quetzalcoatl and ayahuasca and spiral ladders, and yes, you find it again and again. Anything to do with psychedelics and shamanism. It seems like this concept of the double helix they've been familiar with far back before Watson and Crick supposedly discovered this molecule in the 50s.
Scientists prove evolution wrong documentary online. See that? They were showing a computer animation of DNA. See that computer animation? They're not showing actually how it works. They're showing how they think it works. Okay, so all their little experiments. This is them looking at cells. They've seen cells divide. Okay. I don't know what they actually are doing. In the MGTOW community, the scientists, they party on the weekends. So, I mean, who are these people, scientists that you trust? They just stare at these things and watch cells multiply. What are they actually doing? They can see pieces of the cell, you can't see the DNA in there, okay? You can see pieces of cell, and, you know, to a biologist that might sound stupid, but, I mean, I'm not that stupid. You must think that I'm stupid, but I'm calling you out here, 28th of November, 28, that's 4 sevens, that's 11, that's 5, so 5, 7, that's, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's the 5 sevens. Or, that's a 7, and then that's a 2, 9, plus 8, 17. So, I don't really know if that's the first date. Maybe it was a little sooner, but this is like what they give you. Okay? Okay, they say, this is what they give you, a line. And then a zoom in, and it looks like a rod. But there is nothing here that you can see anything. Just a squiggly line. Okay? Not at all what they are showing to be like, what you think DNA was, what you've always been brainwashed to believe in it in. And I was brainwashed in it too. But, this just doesn't look real. What is this? What are these deep holes in here, and is this the DNA that they're talking about? Say, it's resting on a silicon bed of nails. First glimpse, the viral birth of DNA. Okay, and then it says, the structure of DNA was originally discovered using X-ray crystallography. This involves X-ray scattering off atoms in crystallized arrays of DNA to form a complex pattern of dots on a photographic film. Interpreting the images requires complex mathematics to figure out what crystal structure could give rise to the observed patterns. Okay, there's so many things wrong with that, okay? Dots on photographic film, atoms, okay? The nuclear atom doesn't exist. Mathematics, complex mathematics, okay? I already proved that mathematics is an invention of the human mind, okay? To serve humans. It doesn't exist in nature, okay? So, this is just a ridiculous hoax, and both evolutionists and creationists argue about the origin of DNA, and it's all a racket. It doesn't matter, okay? There's no such thing. Early life underwent a massive system of upgrade about 4 billion years ago. This has never happened. Okay, this is a picture of a hot spring, and it's saying that's what it looked like. Oh, you have to actually, pay to see what they say. Go figure. So, what else for DNA do they have? Something that looks like a worm. This really looks like worms. Like parasites. So, what are they saying, basically? That the fundamental building block of life is a parasite. Okay, looks like a worm. This is just a Photoshop image, and then they have a picture of a tranny here. It's funny. You'll all click to see what that is, says. Oh, by the way, and you look at it in here, and, I mean, just look at the picture that they show you. It has just a, you know, your typical box inside of a box. Ah, this is a 7. That's a 7. So here's a zoom in picture of it, and it's, you know, pretty lame, really. I mean, child's play. Like, it's not as complex as they say it is, if this is what it is. They can't even get it. They can't even get an image of it to look more complex than that. Okay? So, it's pretty pathetic. I think that, that before we understand what it actually is doing, we should need to see what the heck it's doing. And we've never actually seen what it is doing. We just saw a line. Okay? And I saw the videos where they string DNA in a lab and it's white goo and they take it out, and I don't know what that stuff could be. It could be like spiderweb mush or like just sugar solvent. Like it could be just like who knows, it could be even semen. So no one's actually seen that. Okay? No one has ever seen this. They've only seen lines that look like parasites, and this is just total BS. And John Surfer has never done this. No one has ever done this, okay? Because no one cares to do it. All he does is like silly stuff. So this is important, more important than 9/11. That this is your whole reality being shaken down. You don't know DNA doesn't exist, then where do you come from? Okay, what are you? Obviously, something is making you exist, but it's not this.
I would like to thank one of my viewers for raising this question. Do atoms exist? So in this video, I will try to use language and logic. I won't present to you any flashy, colorful diagrams and things like that, but we're just going to stay by something very, very basic. But before I do that, I want you to say it is, see that it is time for truth. Okay. All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to go to the Greek word, and it's right in front of you, the Greek word. Okay, you're looking at the Greek language. The origin of this word and its meaning at the time would have been supposedly around 400 BC. Now, it's hard to trust all the dating and all the characters in history, but we have to start somewhere. So we're going to start with the Greek language. Now, the word atom is in front, atomos is in front of you. So this would be like an A, this would be like a T, that's like an O, and that's like an M, an O, and an S. Atomos. Now, the A or the alpha is separated from the root word, tomos. Now, tomos is derived from cutting or splitting. So if you put A in front of it, it negates what comes after it. So for example, the word atheist. A theist is someone who believes in God. An atheist is someone who does not believe in God. The letter A or the alpha negates it. So this means cutting or split. A cutting or something split. So something that cannot be cut or split. That which cannot be cut or split. Atom. Now, that's the origin of the English word. So, just on the basis of the origin of the word, I'm going to say to you that atoms exist in theory, but atoms do not exist in reality. Now, once again, it goes back to one of the concepts that I had in my name of different channels that I chose. And one of the channels that I designated as real or real, R-E-A-L or R-E-E-L. Is it real as in reality, or is it something that's only presented to you in terms of film, fantasy, real, R-E-E-L. Now, atoms are, in a sense, fantasy. And it comes back to the meaning that was originally established in that A, tomos, atom, that which cannot, this is cut, cutting, split, that which has been cut or cut or split, and this is negates it, that which cannot be cut or split, cannot. So if I put an apple in front of you right now and I had a knife and I started to cut it in half, and then cut the halves in halves, quarter it, and then cut the quarters in half, all right? Could I continue to cut every single shred of the apple? Well, in a practical sense, my knife would not be small enough to divide the piece of apple. But even if I could acquire an instrument that would divide the apple at its tiniest level, there would still be a particle in existence. Now, the Greeks theorized that you will reach a point at which it cannot be divided. And that is what they call an atom. Okay? Now, do they actually exist? No, they can't exist. Because in reality, real, R-E-A-L, you can always split something. The problem is not that you cannot split it. The problem is you don't have an instrument small enough to split it. Now, what they're saying is, in hoax history, that according to science, which is pseudoscience, the atom was split. Now that's nonsense, and here's why it's nonsense, because it's double talk. And double talk is presented to you as being brilliant. If the definition is that which cannot be split, how can it be split? Now, there will be people listening to me right now that will want to bail out. And that's okay with me. Bail out if you want. But here's the truth of the matter. You've been hoaxed. There's no such thing as an atomic bomb. Because what they teach in their pseudoscience is that somehow in the depths of these particles in the atom, there's an incredible amount of energy. And when you bust the atom, it releases energy. Now think about it. You can't even see the darn thing. And then out of this thing called an atom comes this explosion that's going to take out an entire city. It's nonsense. But the nonsense is packaged as being brilliant. And we got our stupid formula E equals MC squared, which I did have done a video on that, and that is just downright witchcraft. So back to the original question, do atoms exist? They exist in theory. Postulations. There is no proof anywhere about an atom existing. You have stories of magical things happening, like the Manhattan Project, whereby the atom was split, and then Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where the world was shown the power of the atom. No, the world was shown the power of witchcraft. So, do atoms exist? Well, the ancient Greeks around 400 BC, you see the name before you hear, Democritus, postulated, theorized that there would be something in this physical existence that could never be split by a knife or by anything. And if that is the definition, how in the world could you split it? And so basically what they're saying is, the language that you learned doesn't apply anymore. And that's basically what a lot of hoaxing is about. Taking language and assigning it a new meaning. And one of the words, I'm not going to say the word, but it begins with the letter V. And in its Latin origin was singular. No plural existed. And it had a very simple, basic meaning. secretion of poison, either from, obviously, A, a plant, or B, an animal. And the most obvious animal is the serpent. So now that word, coming out of Latin, goes into English with an entirely new definition. So I'm borrowing a slide here from somewhere, I don't know. But notice, whoever's used this slide in their teaching got the definition there, indivisible. No experiments to support this idea. So you can make up anything you want about atoms. And you can come up with all kinds of charts. You can come up with all kinds of faces to tell you about the power of an atom. But what I'm telling you about is the power of witchcraft. To take a word and then allow it to have its meaning changed, redefined, and assigned a bunch of BS called science. Beware of so-called science. Folks, there were no nuclear bombs dropped because they didn't exist. What was dropped was a bomb on your head, a bomb to your mind, making you believe that somehow something you can't even see with your eye, when you open it up, it releases this enormous power and causes enormous destruction. You know who is called the destroyer in the Bible? Apollyon, the devil. So, the destruction that's done by the atomic nonsense is a destruction of language and logic. Well, back to my listener, back to my viewer, I do want to thank you for raising the question, and I'm sure that some have, or who watch, will watch this, will want to say, this is not good science. Yeah, you're right, it's not, because mostly science is a hoax. And you've been hoaxed, and you've been duped, and you've had a nuclear bomb dropped on your head. Atoms, do they exist? Not really. They're just a postulation and a theory. And if there is a theory, what they're saying is it's the end of the line. Nobody splits them. Your head's been split by Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Well, I hope this was some truth for you. I don't know if you were helped or hurt. Or you want to scream at me. That's not scientific. It's not scientific. But I believe I've just given you truth. Thank you for watching.
So, yeah, Happy New Year. 1-1. Worldwide here. Questioning Mr. Skeptic 101. So, yeah, just been looking into this atom thing. Recently did an expose on the nuclear weapons hoax. A lot of talk been going on about these nuclear weapons not being real and just being a bunch of fear-mongering, control, psychological operation type thing. And I'm looking at these atoms now. I want to see what these atoms look like. I mean, we know they've talked about atoms since the ancient Greek days. You know, you can go to Democritus and a lot of those writers, and they talk about these atoms. And they even had societies built around atoms. All this talk about atoms, and they claim, like, these things are invisible. You know, once again, physics, quantum physics. Talking about black holes, they're invisible, yet on the other side of the cheek they say there's observable evidence. Okay, well, show me the evidence. I'm looking at these pictures. I type in on Google real picture of Adam, and what do we get? More fucking cartoons. Let's see what we got here. Some Jews in the mix. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Hero scientist of Adam. I mean, what is this shit, man? It's another belief system. This is another religion.